Chapter 3, The Source of Power. Man's brain, body, mind, faculties, and talents are the mere instruments he uses in demonstrating greatness. In and of themselves, they do not make him great. A man may have a large brain and a good mind, strong faculties and brilliant talents, and yet he is not a great man unless he uses all these in a great way. That quality which enables man to use his abilities in a great way makes him great. And to that quality we give the name of wisdom. Wisdom is the essential basis of greatness. Wisdom is the power to perceive the best ends to aim at and the best means for reaching those ends. It is the power to perceive the right thing to do. The man who is wise enough to know the right thing to do, who is good enough to wish to do only the right thing, and who is able and strong enough to do the right thing, is truly a great man. He will instantly become marked as a personality of power in any community, and men will delight to do him honor. Wisdom is dependent upon knowledge. Where there is complete ignorance, there can be no wisdom, no knowledge of the right thing to do. Man's knowledge is comparatively limited, and so his wisdom must be small, unless he can connect his mind with a knowledge greater than that of his own, and draw inspiration from the wisdom that his own limitations otherwise deny him. This he can do. This is what the really great men and women have done. Man's knowledge is limited and uncertain. Therefore, he cannot have wisdom in himself. Only God knows all truth. Therefore, only God can have real wisdom or know the right thing to do at all times. And man can receive wisdom from God. For example, Abraham Lincoln had limited education, but he had the power to perceive truth. In Lincoln, we see that real wisdom consisted of knowing the right thing to do at all times and under all circumstances by having the will to do the right thing, having the talent, and having the ability to be competent and able to do the right thing. Back in the days of the abolition agitation and during the compromise period, when all other men were more or less confused as to what was right or as to what to be done, Lincoln was never uncertain. He saw through the superficial arguments of the pro-slavery men, the impracticability and fanaticism of the abolitionists. He determined the right ends to aim at, and he saw the best means to attain those ends. It was because men recognized that he perceived truth and knew the right thing to do that they made him president. Any man who develops the power to perceive truth and who can show that he always knows the right thing to do and that he can be trusted to do the right thing will be honored and advanced. The whole world is looking eagerly for such men. When Lincoln became president, he was surrounded by a multitude of so-called able advisers, yet hardly any two of them were in agreement. At times they were all opposed to his policies, and at times almost the whole North was opposed to what he proposed to do. But he saw the truth when others were misled by appearances. His judgment was seldom or ever wrong. He was at once the most able statesman and the best soldier of the period. Where did he, a comparatively unlearned man, get this wisdom? It was not due to some peculiar formation of his skull or to some fineness of the texture of his brain. It was not due to some physical characteristic. It was not even a quality of mind due to superior reasoning power, as knowledge of truth is not often reached by the process of reasoning. It was due to his spiritual insight. Let me repeat that. It was due to Lincoln's spiritual insight. He perceived truth. But where did he perceive it? And whence did the perception come? We see something similar in George Washington, whose faith and courage, due to his perception of truth, held the colonies together during the long and often apparently hopeless struggle of the Revolution. We see something of the same thing in the phenomenal genius of Napoleon, who always knew in military matters the best means to adopt. We see that the greatness of Napoleon was in nature rather than in Napoleon. We discover in both Washington and Lincoln something greater than either of them. And we see the same thing in all great men and women. They perceive truth. But truth cannot be perceived until it exists. And there can be no truth until there is a mind to perceive it. Truth does not exist apart from mind. Wisdom is obtained by understanding what God wants from us. Again, wow. What is truth? What is Wallace talking about here? What is truth? What is wisdom? Truth is God consciousness. Truth is, as I said before, that awareness being one with omniscience, one with all of the knowledge that there is. When we meditate, when we clear our mind, when we start rising up in vibration, and it is my intention that as I read this book, the intention and the greatness that Wallace is speaking about and the greatness that was in Wallace and in all of great minds is in you now. And you will rise up in awareness to know that truth is about omniscient presence. So we are activating now awareness, God awareness in us now. Ooh, speaking of God awareness, woo, we've got another exciting chapter. The chapter coming up on chapter 4 is the mind of God. Young David changed the cause of history.